Please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 20. As we continue to take a break from the book of Genesis for just a few more weeks, we're going to look at tonight at what it means to keep the Sabbath day, a question that often comes up. And of course, we find that here in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, but we're also going to look at some verses in Isaiah 58 as well as some others. And so let's read now the word of the Lord. We'll begin here in Exodus 20. We'll read verses 8 to 11, and then we'll flip over to the book of Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. This is God's holy word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then flip over to Isaiah chapter 58. We'll read verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And there ends the reading of God's holy word. May He bless us as we look at it together this evening. Recently, there was a poll that was taken by the Deseret News that interviewed about 1,700 Americans from a variety of different religious beliefs. So you had Roman Catholics, but you also had mainline Protestants, evangelical Protestants, and then you also had Jews and Mormons and maybe even some others, and asked these people about their thoughts and practices on the Sabbath. They wanted to compare them today to what they used to be back in the 1970s. And one of the fascinating yet sad things about this study, or that was discovered from this poll, is that while many people today still value a day of rest, the Sabbath seems to be losing its religious significance. In other words, many people today still believe that keeping a day of rest for relaxation, for catching up on sleep, for being with family, for just having a break from the regular routine and busyness of life is a good thing, and they want that. But fewer people see it as a day to be kept in the religious sense as a day of worship and a day of service to the Lord. It's now seen to be a day primarily for physical refreshment instead of spiritual refreshment. And the reason I bring this up tonight is because as we study what the Bible says about the Sabbath, what we'll see is that God's design for it is that it's to be a day of worship first and foremost. A day when we rest from our physical labor so that we can spend the day communing with our Maker and serving Him in the various activities of worship. Because when we do, the Bible says, not only is it pleasing to Him, not only does it bring Him honor and glory, which is important, I think we all would say, but it also brings rich blessing to us as those who are united to Jesus Christ. And the Lord gives that to us, actually, as one of the encouragements for why we should be keeping the Sabbath day holy. And so that's the main point we'll see as we look at this subject tonight. Knowing that it is pleasing to God and a blessing to you, keep the Sabbath day as you are commanded. Well, I've given you an outline, and you can follow along. The first thing we need to see as we think of the subject tonight is that God wants you to keep the Sabbath day. So just a few minutes ago, we read the fourth commandment in Exodus 20. The question, though, becomes, this is the first question we need to answer tonight, does this commandment still apply to us as 21st century Christians? In other words, is this just a ceremonial command that's been abrogated in the coming of Christ, or is this something that still is binding on us today? Well, as you look at the Scriptures, there are at least three good reasons for why we should believe that the Sabbath, that the fourth commandment in keeping the Sabbath as God tells us to here, is still binding on us. And the first reason is that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance. It's a creation ordinance. If you go back and you look at the fourth commandment, after we're told how to keep the Sabbath day, we're then told in verse 11 that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and then rested on the seventh day. And what this means is that by working on the 6 days of creation and then resting on the seventh after that, God was setting the pattern for His creatures of all time. In other words, the command to keep the Sabbath does not begin here at Exodus 20 at Mount Sinai, but at the beginning at creation. And one of the reasons we know this is because there are actually commands in the Bible to keep the Sabbath before the Ten Commandments were even given. Yeah, for instance, speaking of the manna that God would give to the Israelites in the wilderness, we read in Exodus 16, verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. So the Sabbath did not begin with Israel at Mount Sinai. It began all the way back at the time of creation. And therefore, just as all the other creation ordinances like work and marriage are not taken away in the coming of Christ, so it is with the Sabbath. And the second reason we're to keep the Sabbath is because the fourth commandment is part of God's moral law. It's part of His moral law. As our Confession of Faith says, the Ten Commandments are a summary of God's law, and yet we need to keep in mind that it's not a summary of God's ceremonial law, which gave the specifics for Israel's worship, nor is it a summary of God's civil law, which gave the specifics for Israel as a nation, but rather it's a summary of God's moral law, His standard of righteousness, which, unlike the other two, is perpetually binding, the Bible says. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 5, 17 to 18. He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Now, the day we keep the Sabbath has been changed by the Lord, and we could have an entire sermon on that subject alone. As we see in the New Testament, it's the day of Christ's resurrection now. It's the first day of the week instead of the seventh. But according to Jesus here, given that the fourth commandment is part of the moral law, it's not been done away with. And then with that, the third reason we're still to keep the Sabbath is because Jesus' actions in the New Testament confirm its abiding validity. If you've read through the Gospels, you know that Jesus had plenty of interactions with the Pharisees about the Sabbath day. And if you look closely at those interactions, while you'll see Jesus defending the breaking of the Pharisees' rules and regulations on the Sabbath, nowhere do we see Jesus defending the breaking of God's rules and regulations regarding the Sabbath. In fact, we see Him do just the opposite of that. I've given you a quote from Joseph Piper. He's written a great book called The Lord's Day, where he says, "Christ Himself taught 6 times about the Sabbath, whereas He taught on only 1 occasion about murder and 3 times on marriage. If this commandment to keep the Sabbath were destined for the dustbin of ceremonial law, why do the gospel writers devote so much attention to it? Can you think of any ceremonial law regarding which Jesus spent so much time trying to correct people's practice?" And if you look, you can't find that anywhere, because He's not dealing with a ceremonial law that's been done away with. He's dealing with a moral law that the people are to be keeping. And you see, why He was interacting with the Pharisees so much on this subject was not so that He could free the people from having to keep the Sabbath, but rather He was freeing the Sabbath from what the Pharisees had done to mess it up, so that the people would be able to keep it as God had designed for them to keep it. Now, there's more we could say about all of this, I'm sure, but here are just 3 simple biblical reasons for why we should keep the Sabbath. The question, though, this is the question I need to be asking myself, and I'd encourage you to be asking yourselves as well, is, are we? Right? Are we keeping the Sabbath? A couple of weeks ago, I received a political advertisement in the mail, which I'm sure you also received plenty of these. And I don't usually pay much attention to these. They normally go right in the recycling bin. But this one caught my attention, and it saddened me. And not just because it was full of attacks and trying to make other people look bad, and they all almost do that, but because this one was coming from a man who openly professed to be a conservative Christian. And that's what saddened me. Because here you have the open profession of faith in Christ, but his actions did not match with that profession at all. And there's no question about it that we are a church that professes to believe in the Sabbath. As we heard this morning when Jason took his vows of church membership, we're a church that promises to keep the Sabbath. But is it possible in my life, in your life, that perhaps at times our profession doesn't match up with our action? As we see here, God wants us to keep the Sabbath. Having been saved by grace, this is one of the ways He wants us to express our gratitude. This is one of the ways He wants us to honor Him and serve Him and please Him. Jesus says, of all God's commandments in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show our love to Him. So keeping the Sabbath is pleasing to God. He wants us to do it. But how are we to keep the Sabbath? That's the next question we need to answer. And so as we come to our second point on the outline, keeping the Sabbath entails worshiping and serving your Creator and Savior. So let's look again here at Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here is the main command of the fourth commandment. This is what we are to do. We are to keep the Sabbath day holy. And we're to do this, as we see in verse 11, because God hallowed the Sabbath day when He rested on it at creation. And that is, by resting on it, He made it a holy day. He set it apart from all the other 6 days of the week. And so as we keep the Sabbath day, we're told here that we're to do the same. We're to set it apart from the other 6 days of the week by keeping it holy, verse 8 says. Well, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? If you look on your outline, I've given you a quote from author Philip Ryken, who I think explains it quite well. He says that to keep something holy in the biblical sense is to dedicate it exclusively for worship. Let me give you another example of this. Think of the utensils and furniture pieces at the tabernacle. The Bible says that they also, like the Sabbath, were made holy, right? They were set apart from all the other kitchen utensils and furniture pieces in the Israelite camp for the express purpose that they would be used for the worship of God alone. And so it is with the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath day holy by dedicating it to the Lord, in particular by dedicating it exclusively to His worship and to His service. Now, this point is actually made more explicitly for us in Leviticus 23, verse 3, when it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Now, this obviously doesn't mean that we don't worship God on the other days of the week. Of course we worship God, and we should worship God on the other days of the week. But what this means is that the Sabbath has been specifically set apart by God from all the other days of the week as a day of worship. Right? It's to be a day of public worship, where we come into His courts and sing His praises and hear from Him as His word is read and preached to us. There's a service of worship. We should be there. But it's also to be a day of private worship. It's not just a day when we come to church, but it's a day when we're at home with our families, where as families and as individuals, we're worshiping and serving the Lord as well. If you look at the fourth commandment, God calls it the Sabbath day. This means the entire day, not just a few hours, but the entire day is to be devoted to God's worship and service. The whole Sabbath is to be kept holy, God says. This is how our Westminster Confession of Faith describes it. So chapter 21, paragraph 8, says, "This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of His worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy." Now, the point is, the Sabbath is to be a day when we're focused exclusively on worshiping and serving the Lord. A day when we do nothing but commune with God and praise God and spend time with God and learn to be more like God and serve Him. It's a day of Bible reading. It's a day of public worship. It's a day of meditating on Scripture. It's a day of reading good Christian books. It's a day of fellowshipping with the saints. A day of ministering to the sick and to the poor. A day of singing His praises. And you see, the reason for that, as the fourth commandment says in Exodus 20, verse 11, is because God is our Creator. God is the Lord Almighty. He is the one who made us. He is the reason we exist and have these 7 days to do anything with. And so God's given us the Sabbath to remember that great mercy that's been shown to us and worship Him for it. And what's more, because God is our Savior in Jesus Christ. We read the Exodus account of the Ten Commandments, but if you look at the Deuteronomy account of the Ten Commandments, chapter 5, verse 15, this is what we read. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. As your Creator and as your Savior, God is worthy of your worship. That's the point here. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your service. And He's worthy of it for one entire day of your week. And so He's given you the Sabbath for that purpose. To worship and serve Him as your Creator and Savior. And to worship and serve Him for what He's done as your Creator and Savior. Philip Ryken puts it this way. He says, the Sabbath is God's memorandum to His people, reminding us to give Him glory for His grace. And of course, brothers and sisters, this should never be a burden to us if we love the Lord. Every Saturday morning, my boys wake up with a sense of excitement that's not normally there, or maybe I should say is never really there on the other 6 days of the week. And you can guess why this is the case, because they know that on Saturday, Micah doesn't have to go to school, and so he's excited about that. His brothers are excited about that, or at least one brother's excited about that. But they also know Dad doesn't have to go to work. So this is the one day when the boys and I can spend the whole day together without these other things hindering that. And when they think of that, they're not complaining. They're filled with joy and excitement. And so too, we shouldn't think of keeping the Sabbath day holy as a restriction to our life or something that hinders and dampens our fun, but as a privilege, as a pleasure. We get to spend the whole day with the One who loved us and made us and sent His Son to save us. Walter Chantry, in his book called The Sabbath a Delight, says, without love for God, such a requirement will seem narrow and a heavy burden. But for the godly, it is a broad road of liberty and joy. There is an entire day each week, liberated from my ordinary recreations and labors, to serve the lover of my soul and to be with Him. That's a privilege. That's a pleasure. So keeping the Sabbath entails worshiping and serving your God and Savior. But there's more. As we come to our third point on the outline, keeping the Sabbath day also entails ceasing from your ordinary labors and recreations. Now, so let's look now at Exodus 20 again, this time verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So according to the Lord here, not only is the Sabbath to be a day of worship, but it's also to be a day of rest. As we see here, it's to be a day when you're not to do any work, God says. Now this command to not do any work is an all-encompassing command. Put another way, it doesn't just speak of your particular job, but besides works of necessity and mercy, as Jesus brings out for us in the Gospels, this speaks of all your ordinary labors as a whole. So if you have a job outside of the home, this means the Sabbath day is a day when you shouldn't go into the office, and you shouldn't do any work pertaining to that job. If you're a stay-at-home mom, this means the Sabbath is to be a day when you're not paying the bills, not cleaning up the house or doing laundry. If you're a student, whether in kindergarten or at the university, the Sabbath is to be a day when you're not going to class, not writing papers, not studying or doing homework for us. Now, of course, these are all good things to be done. You should do these things. You should work hard at these things. But God says here in the fourth commandment, not on the sixth, not on the day of rest, but on the 6 days of labor. Because the Sabbath is the one day of the week where He wants us to rest from our ordinary labors. Now, look, the rest of the Sabbath is often misunderstood. As we've seen, it means that we're not to do any work on the Sabbath. I trust that that much is clear up to this point. But what we also need to realize is that it doesn't mean we're to be lazy or inactive on the Sabbath. Rather, your rest on the Sabbath, your ceasing from your ordinary labors, is to be like God's resting on the Sabbath. Right? Again, go back to Exodus 20, verse 11, where God brings out for us, our Sabbath keeping is to be patterned after His Sabbath keeping. And God's rest was not one of inactivity or laziness, but God rested from His work of creation so that He could do something else, so that He could spend the day enjoying and admiring all the things that He had just created. And so as a theologian, Robert Raymond, puts it, he says, rest cannot mean mere cessation from labor, much less recovery from fatigue. Rest then means involvement in new, in the sense of different, activity. It means cessation of the labor of the 6 days and the taking up of different labors appropriate to the Lord's day. Now, of course, there are physical benefits that come to us as a result of this resting from our ordinary labors that God wants us to have and that we should enjoy very much so. But it means that the primary purpose of your resting on the Sabbath is for spiritual benefit, not necessarily physical benefit. Right? It's so that you're free to worship God without the distractions of your ordinary labors. This is why the fourth commandment says that no one else is to work on the Sabbath day either. We're not to support others or encourage others to work, say by having our shop open on Sunday or going out to eat on Sunday, because they're also to be spending the whole day worshiping their Creator. This is also why, I don't know if you noticed this when I read it a few minutes ago, our Westminster Confession of Faith says that the rest of the Sabbath includes even our ordinary recreations in addition to our ordinary labors. Things like watching TV, reading the newspaper, even these activities should be avoided on the Sabbath. In fact, the Confession says we shouldn't even think or talk about these things on the Sabbath. Not because they're inherently sinful, but because it distracts us from the grand purpose of the day that God has given to it. So even though we're commanded to rest on the Sabbath, doesn't mean we're not to be busy and working hard on the Sabbath. As we see in God's own example for us, we're to rest from our labors and recreations so that we can be busy doing other things, busy worshiping God and serving the Lord on His hallowed day. This means, I would argue at least, that we should take the 2-hour nap on Saturday so that we're rested for Sunday, not take it on Sunday so that we're rested for Monday. Right? You see how it's a little bit backwards, right? It's not necessarily that that's a wrong thing, right? But the rest should be, the physical rest should be for the Lord's Day. In fact, I've even heard it said that we should be more tired after the Lord's Day than on any other day of the week. Because if you think about it, the work we're called to do on the Lord's Day is worth so much more of our time and energy than anything we do on the other days of the week. Robert Murray McShane, this is in your outline, once said, "The Sabbath should be the busiest day of the seven, but only in the business of eternity." Only in the business of eternity. Whenever the session meets with folks to interview them for church membership, one of the things we like to ask them, although I don't think we asked any of the people we interviewed this week about this, can you tell us a little bit about your private devotional life? Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? And often the answer that's given is, yes, I'm reading my Bible. Yes, I'm praying, but not as much as I would like. And my guess is if I would ask you that same question tonight, you'd say the same thing. I'd say the same thing. And you realize God has weaved it into the very fabric of the universe that we would have one whole day where we can do all these things that we'd like to do, that we say we'd wish we could do more of, but don't have the time to do. God's given us the time for it. Right? He's ordained. He's provided this day. He's commanded us to keep it a certain way so that we can spend the extra time reading our Bible and improve our prayer life and be with the saints and get to know our brothers and sisters more and more. And of course, most of all, to worship Him publicly. So we say we want to grow. We say we want to know the Lord more. Here's our chance. God's given us a day to devote entirely to that. But it's not always easy to do, is it? And so as we see, fourthly, keeping the Sabbath also entails planning, preparation, and faith. I want us to look again at what the Westminster Confession of Faith says, chapter 21, paragraph 8. Again, that's in your outline. It says, and I think very helpfully so, "This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a rest, but are taken up the whole time in the works of worship." So according to the confession, keeping the Sabbath, the way that God defines it here for us in the Scriptures, requires planning and preparation. And of course, the authors of the confession infer this from the command to worship and the command not to rest. But we also find it taught for us in the Bible elsewhere. For instance, Exodus 16, verse 23. "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" In other words, the manna they were to prepare to eat on the Sabbath was to be prepared the day before the Sabbath so that they wouldn't have to do it on the Sabbath. And according to Matthew Henry, this directs us to contrive our family affairs so that they may hinder us as little as possible in the work of the Sabbath. And you see what's going on here. If we're to rest and worship on the Sabbath, then that means we shouldn't spend all our time making meals on the Sabbath. Of course, there are necessities that need to be done. This isn't to go too far in the extreme direction, but as so much as it's possible, we should prepare them beforehand. But it's not just meals we should prepare, it's also our lives we should prepare in advance. If we're to keep the Sabbath holy as God commands, we need to make sure our responsibilities at the office are done by Saturday night. We need to make sure the house is in order by Saturday night. We need to make sure our schoolwork is done by Saturday night so that we're not bringing things that are hanging over our heads into the Sabbath, but we're ready for Monday morning when we go to bed Saturday night. This also means we should prepare by getting enough sleep before Sunday, and we should prepare by getting enough recreation before Sunday. Now, author Chad Van Dixhorn says, "We need to find a way during the week to get the recreation we need, because if we do not, we will almost inevitably find ourselves and our children pining for a second Saturday instead of enjoying our Sunday." It's also good to prepare how we're going to keep the Sabbath. What shape will it look? What will it take each Lord's Day? What are we going to read? How are we going to spend our time? And let me just say a quick word on this. If you're new to keeping the Sabbath, it's not going to be easy to go from not keeping it at all to keeping it rightly, as we're talking tonight. So my encouragement is one step at a time. Right? You can't go from nothing to everything. So find one thing you can put into practice. Next week, find another thing. And over time, seek to build that up and honor the Lord in that way. Most of all, we want to prepare our hearts before the Lord's Day. We want them to be soft and warm, ready to come to worship. So we spend time in prayer on Saturday evening. So we look over the Scripture passages that will be preached the day before. In exactly 4 weeks from tomorrow, our Vacation Bible School is going to begin. And so we have people right now who are preparing to teach. We have people right now who are writing skits for the program. I'm trying to get some of the curriculum written. We have people doing things because we realize the day's going to come soon, very soon. I'm feeling the pressure of this. And unless we're ready in advance, it's not going to go off as we want. It's not going to be a blessing to the kids. So it is with projects at work. So it is with family vacations. So it is with the Sabbath as well. All right, we need to be ready for it as we seek to do it. The point is, our lives should revolve around Sunday. But then with that, to keep the Sabbath, we need to have faith. I'm sure you've experienced this before. It's hard to keep the Sabbath when everyone else around you is not keeping the Sabbath. Right? When you see them cutting their grass, you feel like you need to go out and cut your grass. When you see them going to class or working on their schoolwork, you feel like you need to be doing the same thing. It's also hard not to think that you'll fall behind in your classes or that you'll lose the possibility of a promotion if you do keep the Sabbath, or if you don't work on Sunday, rather, when everyone else is. It's easy to think that way. My guess is you've experienced that. Keeping the Sabbath is an impossibility. Lord, it sounds nice, but I have too much work to do. I have too many responsibilities in my life. There's no way that I could do this. At least there's no way I can do it to the extent that you want me to. But you realize that's just a lie of Satan. God's given you all the time you need in the 6 days for what He's called you to do. That's true for you and that's true for me. Now, maybe we need to cut back a little. Maybe we need to reprioritize our lives, reschedule our lives. That may be the case. But God's given us the time to do what He's called us to do. And so one of the ways we can combat that temptation and help ourselves keep the Sabbath as God commands is by believing that God has given us the time in the 6 days of work, but also by believing that the Sabbath, while it requires sacrifices to be made, it's always worth it. It's always worth it. That's one of the interesting things. If you talk to someone who's been keeping the Sabbath a very long time, they'll tell you, yes, it was hard at first, but it is so worth it. All of the sacrifices are worth it. That it is pleasing to God, which is more important than anything. That it is a day of blessing for you, as we'll see in just a minute. And that, yes, God will take care of you as you seek to honor Him and make those sacrifices on His day. This is what He wanted the Israelites to learn as He told them, don't go looking for manna on the Sabbath, because I'll provide all that you need on the day before. So keeping the Sabbath entails worshiping and serving your Creator and Savior. It entails ceasing from your ordinary labors and recreations. And it entails planning, preparation, and faith. And brothers and sisters, you should be careful to do these things, because not only is your Sabbath keeping pleasing to the Lord, but it also will bring a rich blessing to you in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our fifth point on the outline. So as we've seen up to this point, God says that, yes, there are things you should do and you shouldn't do on the Sabbath day. But what we need to see now is that God's not trying to ruin your day. He's not trying to take all the fun out of your life. He's not trying to keep you from advancing in your job. But rather, as you cease from your weekly labors and as you seek to honor Him on the day that He is hallowed, you'll experience the blessings that He has ordained to pour out upon you on that day. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are obvious physical blessings that come to you from resting. Those are important. God wants you to have them. But the primary blessings of the Lord's Day are not physical, they are spiritual. And that's what's brought out for us here in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14, where God says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, as you cease from your ordinary labors and recreations, and as you seek to honor the Lord by worshiping and serving Him throughout the day, God in turn will do three things, we're told here. First, He will cause you to delight in Him. You shall delight yourself in the Lord, verse 14 says. Your love, your passion for Christ will increase as a result of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Second, He'll cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, which is a way of saying He'll strengthen you for victory over the enemies. He'll give you more and more power to say no to temptation and to say yes to righteousness. And third, He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. To feed on an inheritance is to enjoy its benefits. So to be fed on the heritage of Jacob is to be reminded and to be given greater assurance that yes, you belong to Jesus Christ. Yes, your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Yes, God accepts and loves you in Jesus Christ. And yes, you have life awaiting you in heaven. In other words, as you keep the Sabbath as God wants you to. And that's what verse 13 in Isaiah 58 is bringing out. As you truly seek Him in worship and service,
you'll be sanctified. Now, that's what Isaiah 58 is saying. Your hearts are going to be filled with His love. Your souls are going to be strengthened for His service. You're going to know Him more. You're going to be closer to Him. Your life is going to be holier as a result, and therefore much better as a result. Or as we see in the New Testament, it was on the first day of the week, the Bible says, that is on the Christian Sabbath, that Jesus breathed out the Holy Spirit upon His disciples. It was on the first day of the week that Jesus revealed Himself to doubting Thomas in a very special way, thus confirming and strengthening his fledgling faith. It was on the first day of the week that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, drawing thousands to the Lord. And it was on the first day of the week that John received his heavenly vision on the island of Patmos. These are the blessings of the Sabbath day. Spiritual blessings upon our souls. Blessings that draw us closer to the Lord. Blessings that strengthen your walk with Him. And you see, God wants to give you these blessings. A little over a week ago, the women in the congregation had a baby shower for Cindy Linsenbark. I obviously wasn't there, yet I can tell you what happened. A bunch of ladies got together. There was some food. There was some fellowship. And there were some gifts. And how do I know that? Because that's why you have these parties. So that the ladies can be together and shower the new mom with gifts and blessings. And you realize so it is with the Sabbath. That's why God has ordained the Sabbath. That's why He's commanded you to keep it a certain way. Because He wants to shower these blessings upon you. And this is what Jesus means when He says in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not a day that we just slavishly serve by, okay, I can't do this, but I've got to do this. Rather, it's a day for you. It's a day for your blessing, for your strength, for your growth in grace. That's why the Lord has designed it that way. And yes, that's why the Lord has put the restrictions on it that He has. It's not to be a burden. It's to be a blessing. And it will be a blessing. Because when Jesus Christ was on earth, He perfectly kept the Sabbath for you. And having done that all the days of His life, He then was raised for your justification on the Sabbath. And having been raised and now seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is the one who enables His people to keep the Sabbath. And through His Spirit will make you more like Himself on the Sabbath. And so, brothers and sisters, God wants you to keep the day because it's pleasing to Him and He's worth it. But because He loves you and He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be strengthened. And so in the power of Christ, relying on the grace of Christ who kept the Sabbath for you, seek to put into practice prayerfully all that you've been commanded. May God help you. May God help me. And may we be strengthened that we would bring greater honor and glory to our God and to our Savior. Knowing that it is pleasing to God and a blessing to you in Jesus Christ, keep the Sabbath as you are commanded. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You that You have given us this day of strength, this day of rest and blessing as we seek You in the day. Lord, we pray that we would be Sabbath keepers and not those who profane Your holy day by doing what we want. But rather, Lord, may we not even have our own thoughts and our own words on the day, that we would be so wrapped up in You. Lord, help us, grow us in this area. Cause us to appreciate it more and more. And forgive us for all the times that we put ourselves first and we do what we want. Lord, give us the heart of Christ that delighted to do Your will, no matter how countercultural it is, no matter how hard it may be in this day and age. Lord, help us to keep Your holy day as You've called us to, that we would bring the glory to You that we want to, but Lord, that we would be blessed. We need Your blessing. And so thank You for this day. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, for His sake, and for His glory. Amen.